With silent films from the 1920s, technology didn't exist to really easily marry the picture with the sound, so you had real-time accompaniment. As a result, we have all these silent films from the 20s that never really had an actual score married to them. In order for Turner Classic Movies to re-release or to air these films, they need a new soundtrack.
That's composer Vivek Madala. He's a judge for Turner Classic Movies' annual Young Film Composers Competition. The event invites young composers to write and perform music for previously unscored silent films. Before Madala was a judge at the competition, he was a contestant, and he won. Steve Paulson asked Madala what it was like to win the competition.
I had actually, believe it or not, never written anything for film before. I had been writing music since I was a small child, but I had always wanted to write music for film, but I never really had an opportunity. I wasn't quite sure how to break into the business, and so I heard about this competition. Turner Classic Movies had 4 different film clips on their website, and you could download the 4 clips, pick one, and write music for it. So I picked this Valentino scene from Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, and I really didn't know what I was doing, actually. And in fact, I think that maybe worked in my favor. I wrote music that was, I guess, perceived as bold and unconventional, although I didn't really know that at the time. So yeah, I ended up writing what was effectively a tango in a kind of a modern mode.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay.
So what's happening in that scene?
In the beginning of the scene, Valentino appears where he's sort of checking out this woman who he wants to dance with. And it results in a bar fight. And then he grabs her and starts dancing with her. And then so you actually get to see the interaction between the people in the bar who are watching the dance scene and watching the fight. First the fight and then the dancing. And then it's the actual physical dancing.
Now, what you hear in that is movement. I don't know if you're trying to get at the movement of the dancers, or is it the movement of the fight? What is it that you're commenting on?
With silent film music, often you're playing both the drama and the subtext, as well as the action on the screen. And so what I was trying to do with the music was sort of, I guess you could think of it as choreographing the music to the action, as well as sort of reflecting the underlying motivations of the characters.
So did you actually then create the music? I mean, did you go out and hire people to perform all of those instruments?
Actually, I played all the instruments myself.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I have my own recording studio in my house at the time in my apartment in San Francisco. I actually recorded that in my one-bedroom apartment on Lombard Street in San Francisco.
Oh, wow. So what did you win?
I won the opportunity to score a feature film from the 1920s. In fact, it was the 1921 Lon Chaney film, The Ace of Hearts, with an orchestra in Hollywood.
So a whole film?
Yeah, it was 74 minutes of wall-to-wall score.
That must have been fun.
Fun, yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was, well, the thing is, writing 70, 80, 90 minutes of music in a 2 or 3 month period for an orchestra, you know, that's a lot of work and it's pretty intense. And with a silent film of this scale, you know, typically I have to write anywhere, depending on where I'm in the schedule, anywhere from 1 to 3 minutes of music a day that's fully orchestrated and fully sequenced. And so
that does sound intense. Yeah,
it's very intense. You know, when I was working on The Ace of Hearts, in fact, every silent film that I've done, I don't leave my apartment for whatever 2 or 3 months. I order my groceries off the internet, send out my laundry. Once a week, I go downstairs and check my mail. It's an intense process.
Well, you went on to score a number of movies for Turner Classic Movies, and another one was The Mysterious Lady with Greta Garbo.
That's right.
Let's hear some of that. haven't seen this movie, but I know that something bad is about to happen here. It sounds like Garbo's lover is being marched off to the firing squad or something like that.
Yeah, it's in fact, he's in the Austrian army. This is circa 1914. This is right before World War I. He's being court-martialed for treason, and he's actually been framed by Greta Garbo. This was a really, I think, a great film. Oddly enough, I'd never seen a Garbo picture before I scored this picture, but after spending 3 months looking at the screen, looking at Garbo on the screen, I can totally see why people are such Garbo maniacs.
And one thing that's so striking about this music is the chorus. I mean, that just adds to the intensity of the scene.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. This was a cue that I had been wanting to write for years, since I was a kid. I'd always wanted to write some sort of a, you know, Wagner-esque, big, you know, almost a something reminiscent of Carmina Burana. And the scene kind of provided the dramatic context for me.
You know, I have to tell you, I've come to a new appreciation of the power of music in the movies because I've been watching The Lord of the Rings, the three movies, with my kids who are 7 and 9, and they're kind of scared of the movies, especially the younger one. And I realized it was the music that scared them more than anything, and that actually if you removed the music from it, it wasn't nearly as scary. And it was just, I really came to see how much music drives the emotion of a movie.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting to me the extent to which music can evoke an emotional response in the audience in a way that seeing something can't necessarily do. You know, it is interesting how two different pieces of music against the same picture can actually make the picture look different and make the experience of watching it be completely different.
Explain what you mean by that.
Well, when I was in college, I took a class that was actually taught by a professor who had a dual PhD in electrical engineering and in music composition, and he played us a film clip. It was children playing on a playground, and it was just the sounds of the children playing. And then he played us the exact same film clip with, you know, almost a Disney-like light orchestral soundtrack, and it sort of accompanied the action on the screen. And then he played us the exact same thing again, but with very ominous-sounding orchestration and composition. There was cello and double bass in a sort of a dissonant chordal pattern, and then sort of eerie woodwinds and strings up top. And it actually made the picture look different. It was the exact same picture, but it somehow my interpretation of what was happening, you know, obviously was quite different than it was in the previous version that he showed us. And it was actually at that point that I realized how a lot of what we understand about what we're seeing in a film is affected by the music.
Now, we've been talking about music that tends to be scary or very dramatic. Of course, there are lots of other kinds of movie scores as well, comedies.
Sure.
and romances. And you did a score for the romantic comedy The Patsy with Marion
That's right.
Davies. And let's hear some of that.
Okay.
So when you're creating music for a lighter film, a romantic comedy, what do you try to do? I mean, why is that so recognizably romantic music?
I think there's kind of a universal language, a common vernacular, musical vernacular, we as consumers of Western cinema have become familiar with. When you hear kind of a light waltz of that style, I think maybe that sort of just connotes romance. Writing music for a silent film, I think, is significantly different than it is for a talkie, if you will. With a silent film, it's, I think, more like writing music for a ballet, where the music and the picture are sort of equal partners. I mean, obviously, the music serves the picture, serves the drama, but there aren't other components to the sound, such as dialogue and sound effects, that you're competing with. The music needs to constantly engage the listener or the viewer. The music, I think, it has to do a lot more. With a more modern film, like a first-run feature, for example, often the music can sort of just play mood or texture. And with a silent film, it has to do a lot more.
Well, the other thing that you have to do is, in some ways, you have to get back into the mindset of a 1920s film. I mean, you can't use modern
Sure.
instrumentation. You have to make it sound old.
I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things that I think Turner Classic Movies is looking for is, I don't want to say necessarily a modern interpretation, but when they hire me to score a silent film, I think really part of the specification is for me to bring the film into the new century. And so while I am using orchestral instruments that existed, say, at the turn of the century, a lot of the harmonies that I use, a lot of the musical constructs didn't exist in the 1920s. I'm really more of a jazz musician. And so when you listen to my scores for these silent films, I'm drawing largely from like late 19th century romanticism. But you'll also hear some, you know, John Coltrane and Miles Davis in the music. You'll hear some Bill Evans influences. In fact, there were some cues from the Patsy. There was one where there was even a subtle Jimi Hendrix reference, although it was with bassoon and oboe. I tend to draw on more modern harmonies and things that maybe hadn't been invented when these films came out. And I think that can really serve the picture well, especially for modern audiences.
Vivek Madala is a film score composer. Steve Paulson spoke with him.